There are three guys in the hospital, in the waiting room, talking, all expectant fathers. Nurse comes out and says to the one gentleman, "Hey, just want to congratulate you. You have twins." He's like, "Huh, that's a coincidence. I actually play for the Minnesota Twins." So a few minutes later, and their guys are congratulating each other. Hey, great, you know, good job. You know, da-da-da. Nurse comes out, looks at the second gentleman, and said, "Hey, congratulations, you're having triplets." He's like, "Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty crazy, because I actually work for the 3M company." So then nurse leaves, and they're congratulating each other, celebrating the birth of their kids. All of a sudden, the nurse comes out, and the other third guy is just on the floor, just weeping, just crying. And they're like around him, and they're saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" He's like, "I work for 7-Up. So today's topic, we're talking about anchor points. Today's topic is family. And I don't know if I was thrown under the bus because I am the family pastor. This is a really hard subject. I have 4 kids. 3 biologically mine, 1 stepdaughter, who I do not like to call her my stepdaughter, and I have no idea what I'm doing as a parent. There's days that I feel like I'm doing really well and that I'm doing very good, and then there's days where I just look in the mirror and I'm like, this is a catastrophe. Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. So when I started thinking about, okay, if I'm going to talk about family today, what direction should we go as a church? What direction should we be moving forward? Do I talk about, hey, this is our ministry focus, this is our vision for the future of Anchor Point Bible Church and the ministry? I'm going to lay it out there and I'm going to say, this is what we're going to do. Or do I talk about the family as an individual family, like the Carlson / Murphy household? We came up a long time ago when Amanda and I started dating, and we waited a while before we introduced the kids to each other, right? For the safety, if it didn't work out, we didn't want to do that to our kids. Well, we're married now, 4 years, okay? So, but before we got married, we were known as the Murfelsons. Okay, her last name is Murphy, my last name is Carlson. We became the Murfelsons. We would go to a restaurant and they say, "Can we get a name?" And we would be Murfelson. And do I talk about the family? Of the individual family, and how should we raise our kids and what should we do? So by no means am I a professional at this. But my prayer for the last several weeks was, God, give me something that doesn't come from me and is not my agenda. Let it be what you want me to hear, what you want our church family of Anchor Point Bible Church to hear. And it's been a struggle because I've been fighting it, because one thing that I love to do is I love to try to cast vision. I want to invest in people, and I want to push people to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I struggled with, okay, how do I do that? So we understand. I came up with 2 things. Listen to this. This church, not the building, not the walls that surround us, but this church, the people sitting next to you, the people that you know that belong to this building, that may not be here today, but the people, the flesh and blood, is the church. And in Scripture, it talks about how the church is a family. We are a family. And then I also want to talk about how our family, our individual families, how they come alongside the church. Did you hear that? I didn't say how the church comes alongside the family. I said how the family comes alongside the church. And I know some of you are like, that's different. Hear me out. First of all, if you don't know me, or you don't recognize me because I have a lot of hair on my face. Last time I was up here back in July, I talked about why I have hair on my face, because it was this thing that my wife kind of like bet me, said, you'll never do it. Now I can't get rid of it. So, and the reason why is because this is a little vain, but I've had a number of people come up and say, I really like your beard. And I've had a lot of people say, have you lost weight? Okay. Sure. Sure. So if you don't know me or you don't recognize me, my name is Steve Carlson, or if you would like, Pastor Steve. And I am this is my official title, Associate Pastor of Family Ministries. That's my official title. I am not the youth pastor. I am not the children's director. I am not the director of Awana. But what I do is I oversee. I'm the pastor. I oversee that. I try to provide spiritual guidance, which when I think about that and I look in the mirror, I'm like, man, that is not my doing. That is absolutely God's doing. That's what I do. So when I talk about this morning, I want us to just think about what role do I play as a family member of Anchor Point Church, Bible Church? And then what role do I play as a mom, a dad, a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle, a brother or a sister? Or a friend. See how all of that fits into the definition of family? I know when people have spoke about family before, it's this thing of, well, I don't fit in that category. I'm 90 years old. My kids are 65. Their kids are even gone. Like, I'm done with that. Or it could be, we wanted kids. We tried forever to have kids. We couldn't have kids. I don't have a family. This is not for me. Or if you're a single parent and you say, you know, I have a son or a daughter or several. I'm by myself. That's my family. But I can't, I'm divorced, remarried. I struggled with that. And I didn't see my kids all the time. And I was angry. I was bitter at God. How could you let this happen? I didn't want this. But God said, you are a parent. And I have saved you, and I see value in you, no matter your circumstances. And because of that, and because of how I saved you, and how much I love you, and you can be mad at me all you want, Steve, but because I love you, and because I will do anything for you, you need to show that to your kids no matter what the circumstances. So that's where I'm coming from this morning. And it's this thing of how do we as a church family pour into every single person around us? I want to ask you this question. How intimately Do you know the person sitting next to you? Go ahead and look at them. How intimately do you know that person? Definition of intimately is a way that involves detailed knowledge. That's the definition. Detailed knowledge. You know something intimately. Now, don't look at the person next to you, but look at the person all the way across the room. How intimately do you know the person sitting over here or the people sitting over here? We're a family, right? So God has put in place this group of people that come together to worship Him, to praise Him on Sundays, on Saturdays, on Wednesday nights. That's what non-churchgoers think. When it should be that we come alongside each other all the time, that we know each other intimately, that we know how our brothers and sisters in Christ are doing. And do we do that? Do we know that? I've been here nine months. And there's people here that I hardly know. And as I was studying the scripture and figuring out what God had for me, I'm like, Steve, you're not doing so hot in some areas. And I can admit that. Because it's a tough thing. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Is how do we know what others in our family are experiencing or what they're going through? And how do we come alongside them as a brother and sister in Christ? See, I don't know if you've heard the news or if you watch the news. Our world is so messed up. And there are things in this world that I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 2.5-year-old. Don't judge. And there are days where my heart aches because of the stuff that they see and the stuff that they have to go through and the decisions that they're faced with every single day, that we're all faced with every single day. And my prayer is, because you are sitting in this sanctuary this morning, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you are a part of God's family. But as a human being, it's easy, very easy for us to get sidetracked and to kind of start going our own way. And what Robert said earlier about, it doesn't matter who we are or where we come from, we're sinners. That's who we are. But God, it doesn't matter to God. Because He sent Jesus to die for that, so that we can have a relationship with Him, so that we can call Him Father. And there's times I know that we take steps back and we lose focus. And God has blessed every single one of us in so many ways. Think about that. Think about how has God blessed you? And what are we doing about that? Now, I'm going to where everybody has been when it comes to talk about family. If you would do me a favor, if you have a Bible, grab it. I have no PowerPoint this morning. Absolutely on purpose. I didn't even put the title up. Because I want us to actually open our Bible and dig in there this morning and see what God is saying. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab your pew Bible. Doesn't mean it's stinky. Somebody got it. And turn to page 151, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And again, that's page 151 in the pew Bible. All right. Starting with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Greatest commandment. What is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Number one commandment. So let me ask you this. With all the blessings that we've received as a church, again, when I say church, please don't think of the building. It's brick and mortar, and it will crumble. Okay? I'm talking about us as a congregation, flesh and blood. As a church, we are to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. And in some versions of the Bible, it says, with all our might. With all the blessings that we've received, there should not be a time, even in suffering, that we are not praising God. We need to love Him. And what Moses is doing here is he's calling all of Israel, together. And he's saying, hear me, listen to me. Hear what I'm saying. That God has blessed you, and we're forgetting about it. But He has blessed you, and we need to love Him no matter what, with everything we have. It doesn't matter if you're, He wasn't talking just to the parents. He was talking to everybody. He was talking to brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, grandparents, everybody. And He said, you need to love the Lord your God with everything you have, with all your might. With all of your might. So I think about that, and I think of like strength, right? Might. So we just bought a house. We just moved what we thought was this immaculate house, older, that the people took great care of it. Whew. There was some stuff behind the scenes. And one thing was, don't let this gross you out, is that the toilet seats were really old, and they were wood. Okay, and they were gross. So my whole thing was, Amanda, like, we seriously need to, first thing we do before we even put our beds in the house is we need to change the toilet seats. She's like, yes, we do. So I'm thinking 5-minute job. I've changed a million toilet seats. Easy, you know, undo the bolts, da-da-da. Go, you know, put the new one on, do the bolts, and now they have this cool thing where you do the bolts, and when it's tight enough, the little plastic bolts, like, fall off, so you know it's tight enough, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. So I'm thinking, man, this is easy. So she's like, how long will it take? I said, about 5 minutes. So I'll do it right before I go to bed. She's like, okay, awesome. So I go, and these things are so corroded that I can't even find where the screwdriver fits in. So the house was built in 1971, and the toilet was put together in 1942. Okay? So I'm down there, and I'm laying under the toilet on the floor, grossed out as ever, and I am just, like, I'm 6'5", 200 and some pounds, And I am like, I got my foot up on the wall. I got like, I'm big. I don't fit really. And I'm like, just cranking on this thing. And it's not budging. And I'm getting so frustrated. And I'm like, you know what? All I need to do is take a sledgehammer and just tap the toilet and just let it shatter, and then we can go get a new one. Like, I'm to that point. I'm going nuts. But I finally got it with all my might, with every ounce of, and I mean, with every, this is a toilet? And I am doing, like, I'm just, come on, it's got like, everything I have. And my arms are tired. My legs are tired. I'm frustrated. I'm sweating, like just like pouring down sweat. And that's for a toilet. So when it says, love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your might, am I giving that much to the Lord, my God, who saved me? That's what I think about. And that's what we need to do, and that's what I want you to evaluate. Because don't forget, we're talking about family. And when you put something like my kids, like they see some, like Isaac was still up. He's laughing at me, typical 15-year-old. But he's seeing all this effort that I'm putting into a toilet. And does he think, man, that's how my dad is, the pastor, that's how he is with his relationship with God? Shamefully, I have to say, probably not. Because there are times when I forget and I just get full of Steve. And if you read on in verse 7, after Moses had said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Guess what we're responsible for? Teaching our kids about the Lord our God in every single thing that we do. And that's hard. That's not an easy task. We are human, after all. But as we go throughout our day and as we go throughout our lives, we need to just remember that how much God has blessed us, even in the difficult, in times of suffering, when things don't go right, when things aren't the way that we think they should be, because we want it this way, but God said, no, you know what? This is how it's going to work. Because my plans, Steve, are better than your plans. Any day of the week, every day of the week, every second of the day. And how do I react to that? Do I always show the love I have for God to my kids? And again, it's just not our kids. It's our grandkids. It's our nephews and nieces. It's our other aunts and uncles. It's our next door neighbor. It's our friends. They are part. They can be a part of our family. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that bound us all together, no matter what our, no matter what race we are, no matter what gender we are, that has bound us together. That has broken all the barriers down and said, you know what? You are now part of God's family. And you need to love me and show others who I am and be part of the family and know each other intimately. That's what Moses is saying to Israel. And we know how that ends up. And we want to be like, see, it's hard because it's easy to stand up here and say, you know what, we got to do this, this, and this. And I was miserable studying this. Because I try to protect my kids. I try to protect those around me. And we live in a world that is sick. and I'm, what do I do? How do I protect my kids from the things they're going to face? Like, do I shelter them? Do I pull them out of the public school? Do I put them in a Christian school? Do we homeschool? And I know that people face those every day. I have friends that are Christians that work in a bar. I'm like, dude, why are you working in a bar? What are you doing? But we're not all the same. And the thing about like wrestling with those questions is, if I raise my kids right, if I talk to my friends right, if I talk to people right, they will see the love of God. And they will understand what God wants from us. He's not just saying show the love of God. He's saying be the love of God. And then if you go on in Scripture, which we'll touch base in a minute, if you go on, it says you need to teach them the Word of God. You need to be daily in this book, in this, it's instruction booklet for life as a Christian. And your kids need to see that. And you need to read this with your kids. You need to read this with your neighbor. You need to read this with your aunt and uncle. You need to read this with your grandkids. You need to be in this book. One thing I hear a lot, and I'm guilty of this, is because of the society we live in, I hear two things all the time, especially when I was a youth pastor. I hear, oh, you know, our family's doing pretty good. We do like devotions a couple times a week. We pray before dinner. You know, I talk to my kids about how was their day. I try to fit God in there somewhere. We don't need to go to church. Like we're okay. Like, it's okay if we miss a couple of Sundays. It's not a big deal. And this one is becoming more and more common. And this is a struggle. This is the one I'm even guilty of this one. Oh, man. I got to sit down for a minute. Because our family is so busy. Like, I'm so tired. Like, you can't believe everything that's going on. This person's got this, and this person's got this, and this person's got this, and then I'm doing this, and then my wife is doing this. And, I mean, it is like we wake up at 6 o'clock, well, at 5:30 in the morning, and, you know, my wife is off to work by, you know, 6, and then I got to get my kids on the bus, and then they have, like, all these sports and band and did it, and it just goes on and on. I don't have time for church. Really? I'm guilty of that. We are so busy as a society because that's who makes us busy. And I want my kids to be involved in everything. I want them to broaden their horizons. But am I going to do that? Am I going to let them do that? And really take them away from the church? And say, you know what? It's okay. Because number one is, I'm a pastor. We talk about the Bible at home. But you know what they're missing? The church. And again, I don't mean this building. I mean the relationship that is supposed to be happening within the church. That intimacy of people that are involved of Anchor Point Bible Church. Am I going to let my kids do that for the expense of being away from great relationships? intergenerational relationships. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we are very intergenerational. We have little kids, and we have relatively some elderly people. Am I gonna get a pink slip for that one? But see, here, so this whole family ministry thing, it's pretty popular these days in church. And I think what a lot of people say about family ministry and being a family and the church as a family, a lot of churches have that, family ministries. It's kind of a new thing. And when I say family ministries, I'm sure for a lot of people, the first thing that jumps into mind is youth ministry. Right? Maybe. Children's ministry. Is that a focus? Absolutely, that's a focus. Is that the direction that we're trying to go to build that up as Anchor Point Bible Church? You better believe it. Does it take time? Absolutely. And see, and what I'm asking and what I need, what God has laid upon my heart is we are a church family. And we come alongside each other and we help each other out and we know each other intimately and we know the needs of each other. And not just that, but we know the needs of the people that we're all surrounded with. So if there's a neighbor that is suffering, or there's a neighbor that needs something, or people in the community of Muskegon or Norton Shores around us need something, we know about it because we are loving our Lord, our God, with all our heart, all our mind, and all our might, and we're doing that. And people see that, and they know to come to us, and then we can go to our church family and talk and say, hey, we need prayer for the so-and-so. We need to reach out to them as a church. I need no walls on this church. We need no walls on this church. And what I mean by that is we need to reach out to the community and show we are a family of believers that want to come alongside people, that want to come alongside each other and do what God is telling us to do. And James, we just got done with James, and it says we need to, you know, reach out to the widows and to the orphans and the people that need help. That's what we just got done studying. We don't have this this judgment of, well, we're only going to talk to this person because they have the money or because they're rich, and I'm not going to talk to this person because they look like this or they have these needs. No, God wants us to love everybody equally as a family. I don't love Mia any less because she's not my flesh and blood. I don't love her any less than I do my own kids. She is my daughter. She is just not my physical daughter because I married her mom. She is my daughter in Jesus Christ. You understand that? Like it's... And that's what we need. So there was this teacher, and she was teaching her class, and it was Christmas time, and all the kids brought gifts and put them on her desk. And they were all super nicely wrapped, and they were just like, you know, look nice, pretty bows, pretty wrapping paper. And then this kid named Teddy walked up. You might have heard this story. This kid named Teddy walked up, put a paper bag on her desk, dropped it, and walked away. All the kids kind of went, look at that, that's awful. And he was kind of like the outcast. Dirty, hair unkempt. So the teacher, the first thing she did was she opened up the bag, and in it was this broken rhinestone bracelet and a bottle of like cheap perfume. So what'd she do? She put on the bracelet, she sprayed a little of the perfume. And the kids were still like snickering and making fun of Teddy, and just wasn't a pretty sight. But later in the day, the teacher was helping students, and Teddy was a little slow, so he needed some help. And he said to the teacher, he's like, "You smell like my mom did." And that bracelet looks really pretty on you. That was my mom's. Class gets out. The teacher, who's a Christian, gets on her knees right in class and said, "Lord, thank you for loving me the way you do and for showing me how to be obedient to you," and just the impact that that made on Teddy. So years go by. She gets a letter in the mail. It says, "Hey, Mrs. Walker, it's Teddy. I want you to know that I graduated in the top 10% of my class. Thank you." A couple more years go by, she gets another letter. It says, "Hey, Mrs. Walker, it's Teddy again. I just want to thank you for investing in my life. I'm got my master's and I finished in the top 5%. Thank you for everything." A couple more years go by, she gets another letter. "Mrs. Walker, thank you so much for investing in me and caring for me. I am now Theodore, and I am an MD, and I finished the top of my class. I'm getting married next week. I would like you to come and sit in my mom's place because you're the only family I have because my dad passed away last year." So she went and sat in her mom's place. His mom's place. A simple act of showing love to Teddy. What if she wouldn't have done that? What if she wouldn't have just simply sprayed a little perfume and put on a bracelet? What if she wouldn't have done that? We don't know if Teddy would have succeeded or not. But we know that by being obedient, Mrs. Walker, the teacher, being obedient, she totally turned the life of Teddy around. That little action. To the point where she was the only family he had. They hadn't talked in years. And that's what I want to challenge us today. Is what are we going to do to be obedient to those around us? How are we going to bring them into the family? Again, like I said, when Jesus died on the cross, he broke down every single barrier that there is to love other people. And with today's society, that is not what they say. We are divided. As a race, we are divided in politics, we are divided down the line. But because of who Jesus Christ is and how he has blessed us and who we are, that we're able to love him, all those barriers are broken. So that is what we need to do as a church, as a church family, is to come along everybody that we're surrounded with and love on them. Like God loves us. My last point Remember how I said the family comes alongside the church at the beginning? I was in youth ministry for 13 years. And in those 13 years, I watched culture shift big time. And what I mean by that is I watched parents not parent, but become friends with their kids. Parenting, I'm not doing it, not my responsibility. I'll send them to church. And unfortunately, that trend has continued and has progressively gotten worse and worse. But there is a shift in churches and the church mentality that we want to help disciple our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our brothers and sisters, and help lead them as what they're doing at home. Okay, so what that means is when you're at home, you need to be teaching your kids the word. You need to be in every single situation that we are in every experience that we are put in. I have to, and like I said, I fall at this sometimes. I struggle. Is we have to put God into that experience every time. So our kids, so our grandkids, so everybody around us can see that. Very common verse, Joshua. You know where I'm going? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because he was saying, you're going to do what you're going to do. But for my house, for me, we're going to serve the Lord. Because, I'll give you an example. There was a high school kid who was brought up in the church. Dad was a pastor. Was very involved in youth ministry in high school. Went to college, went to Liberty University. Got a degree in youth ministry. Was on fire for God. Wanted to get a master's in philosophy. So ended up going to Harvard University. A year at Harvard, he walked away from the faith. Because of who his professor was in the philosophy class, had talked him out of his faith in Jesus Christ. So, he went years. He moved to Alaska, kind of became a hermit, and just kind of did his own thing. And people were praying for him, and people were, like, hurting for him. People were, like, writing letters to him and all of this stuff, the church family. And a few years after that, God got a hold of him. And he said, I can't believe my thinking went this way. And he came back, and now he's a pastor of a big church and an amazing person. He was my youth pastor. When I was in high school, his dad was my youth pastor. And the reason why I tell you that story is because Lance would have probably never come back, can't say that for sure, if he was not taught at home Scripture and taught about who God was and who Jesus Christ was. I'm going to leave you with this last passage, Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law to Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and raise and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. That right there is saying, you need to teach your ways to your kids. You need to show them how much you love God, how much you're thankful that God has saved you. That there are no barriers between you and anybody on the street. And you need to teach them that, because when they get older, they will not stray from that. To each his own. We're all different. I'm not going to teach Mia something the same way I teach Isaac something. I am going to adapt to who they are, who their personality is, and pray every single day, God, please let them discover you because of what they see in me, but discover it for themselves. I can't make Mia love God. I can't make Isaac love God. But I'll tell you what, I can sure show them what my ways used to be before I turn my life over to God, and what it is now. And hopefully they'll say, man, I don't want to go down that path, because that's exactly what's happening in that scripture that I just read. I want my kids to know who Jesus Christ and love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. And I can't protect them. I can protect them to an extent, but I can't protect my kids. Because one day they're going to leave the house. And they're on their own. And my prayer is that they'll still call me and say, Dad, this is what's happening. Can you pray for me? I'm on my knees. When a neighbor comes to you and says, man, this is what's happening. There's something different about you. What do I do? I'm on my knees. We need to come together, and we need to reach out, and we need to love each other intimately with the love that God gave, God gives us. And that he redeemed us through his son, Jesus Christ. So when we leave here in a few minutes, whether you're going to Sunday school or you're going home, whatever, I want your thought process to be this, because this is mine after studying this, and I didn't touch the surface. Is what does a family, what do you think of a family, and how can I be so family-oriented, the family of Jesus Christ? What does that look like in my household? What does that look like when I'm walking down the street? What does that look like in every single ounce of who I am? And how do I let people see that in me? And how, as we as a church, again, not the building, but as a congregation, as flesh and blood, how do we reach out to other people and say, I have answers to a crazy, wicked, dark society, and it's Jesus Christ. And I want people to see that in me. I want people to come and ask me about that. What's different? How come you don't post crap on Facebook? I'll tell you why. Because I have the answer. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in society and what it's doing. Kids, stand steadfast in what your parents are teaching you, what your grandparents are teaching you, what your aunts and uncles are teaching you. I want to keep going. I got to go. I got to stop. I hope some of that resonated with you. I hope you can take a little piece of that home and just think about it and just chew on it. And the one thing I ask is please talk to your kids or whoever, even if they're not here, talk to them about this. What does our family look like? What does your church family look like? What are we doing? How can I help you? How can I invest in you? That's what God wants us to do. That's what God commands us to do. Let's pray, because I'll just keep going. Dear God, thank you so much for who you are. Lord, man, 16, not even 16 verses of your scripture, of your words, of your instructions in life have just put such a fire in my soul of not only as a pastor of how do we lead family ministries, but as a father. And Lord, I ask that in everything that I say and do and everything that we say and do as a congregation, as flesh and blood, as people that love you so intimately that everybody around us would see it. And actions speak louder than words. And Lord, I ask that as we close, everything that we say and do would glorify and honor you, and people would kind of wonder what's up. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your words. Again, we love you so much. Thank you for breaking down those barriers. I ask that we be a church that reaches out to the community and loves them no matter where they come from, who they are, that we love them like you love us. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.